I'm Jim Stevenson. Welcome to The Game Room.
Amazing but surreal. It's been a lot of hard work.
American golfer Bryson DeChambeau has powered his way to a Grand Slam title, winning the U.S. Open at Winged Foot in New York.
As difficult as this golf course was presented, I played it beautifully. Even when I got in the rough, I was still able to manage my game and hit it to correct sides of the greens.
DeChambeau is of the new generation of power hitters, looking to send a golf ball farther than their predecessors. His strategy worked on a course where accuracy is at a premium, winning by 6 shots and the only player to finish under par amid pandemic protocols.
I felt like it was an opportunity, not a lost year at all. I felt like it was an opportunity to do something great, change my lifestyle, make it healthier, make it better. And I hope this inspires everybody else to do the same.
From a young age, winning a major golf tournament was a goal, and the U.S. Open in particular.
I always felt growing up in college, I was always a super straight driver of the golf ball, super great iron player. And putting was always iffy, but I knew I could get around it on fast, quick greens. I was always really good on quick greens. You know, and then I've become a great putter, and my ball striking has improved consistently, and now I've got an advantage with this length, and that's all she wrote. But yes, growing up, I would say the U.S. Open was the one I thought I could win the most.
DeChambeau feels his style set him apart.
For me, it's about the journey of, can I execute every shot more repeatedly than everybody else? And I was able to do that this week, and that's why I won by 6. Yeah.
He uses scientific analysis to help guide his raw, hard-hitting power.
It's a lot of validation through science, just making sure that the numbers are what they are and the result is accurate. And so it's all about trying to make my perception of what I feel, what I think, what I, you know, whatever it is, turn into proper reality. It definitely is validating that I'm able to execute time and time again and have it be good enough to win an Open.
DeChambeau's team around him are important, beginning with his parents.
It's one of those things that doesn't really hit you. It's not going to hit me till tonight. But I will say that my parents have given so much up for me. I mean, there were times that I went to school without any lunch money and we had to, you know, make bologna sandwiches and didn't have anything to eat. You know, we had some very, very difficult times, but every single day they always wanted the best for me and they always gave me the opportunity to go golf, go practice, and go get better.
He planned to have a dry celebration.
I'll party, but I won't drink. That is not my style.
With the exception of one beverage.
Drink all the chocolate milk there is, though.
And a special chaser.
Yeah, the trophy obviously is really nice. It comes with it.
Tour de France cycling rookie Tadej Pogacar of UAE Team Emirates stunned the cycling world by winning the 117-year-old event in Paris. With a yellow face mask to match the race winner's yellow jersey, the 22-year-old Pogacar stood atop the podium as the second youngest Tour de France winner, youngest winner since World War II, and the first from Slovenia.
This is incredible, standing here in Paris and on the top. I never thought of that, and it's been an amazing 3-week adventure.
Irish rider Sam Bennett won the prestigious final sprint on the Champs-Élysées, giving him his second stage win at this tour. He also won the race's green jersey, awarded for picking up the most points in sprints during and at the finish of stages.
These are the biggest tournaments we have on our tour, ATP Tour.
Novak Djokovic of Serbia further extended his big titles lead after he clinched a record-breaking 36th ATP Masters 1000 crown with his 5th Italian Open title.
Grand Slams are obviously Grand Slams, but they are part of our season, but not part of the ATP Tour. So obviously the 1000 Masters events are as important as it gets on the tour, and these are the events where I want to perform my best other than Grand Slams and the World Tour Finals.
His 7-5, 6-3 victory over Diego Schwartzman of Argentina in the Rome final means the world number one moves 3 big titles ahead of Spaniard Rafael Nadal, who he previously tied for the most Masters 1000 trophies won, and 4 clear of Swiss great Roger Federer.
Even after 15 years being on the tour, I still am as motivated to get my hands on the trophy. I mean, this is what I work for as much as anybody else really on the tour.
After Djokovic was disqualified from the U.S. Open for unintentionally hitting a line judge with a tennis ball during an outburst, he again ran afoul of the officiating in Rome, although not to the extent as in New York.
You didn't understand what I said when I got the warning? I deserve the warning. No, let's keep it that way. I didn't say nice things in my language.
Players and fans had a bonus in the semifinals and final when 1,000 spectators were allowed to watch in person.
Yeah, it was nice to play in front of the crowd. There's a lot of children, which I love seeing kids. Traditionally, this tournament brings a lot of young people and a lot of children, which is very nice to see. Actually, out of restricted 1,000 limited number of people that could access the court, today you had, you know, half maybe, or maybe one quarter, you had young people and children, which is fantastic to see.
Having at least some seats filled gave Djokovic added motivation.
As the time passes by, the tougher it gets. You know, obviously I'm not super fresh and young as I maybe was 5-10 years ago, but I still feel physically really good and I love playing in Rome, you know, and I always want to do well here, and I feel great support and great energy from the crowd.
And there's more to look forward to.
French Open, you know, I was very glad to hear that there's going to be a crowd as well. I understood that the first decision was to have 11,500, if I'm not mistaken, and then they took it down only to 5,000 and only to one court. You know, I just hope that we are going to be able to finish the season with all the tournaments we have in the calendar.
Djokovic says he's just happy tennis is being played.
It's great that we get to play the tournament at all. I mean, considering the conditions in Italy and worldwide, it's good that we get a chance, and even in front of the crowd today.
Doubts do exist for later tournaments.
I heard that Moscow is going to get canceled. You know, London as well is under question mark with everything that is going on in Great Britain. It's out of control of everyone, I mean, involved in tennis and sports, and it's just you have to follow what the government is requiring you to do, and we're just hoping that we can play, you know, even if it's in front of an empty stadium, okay, we'll take that.
Simona Halep of Romania added the elusive Italian Open title to her tennis resume.
I'm really, really happy that I could win this trophy. It was my wish, actually, to have it. After so many years playing well here, finally I could win it. It's a great feeling, and the way I played this week, it was good.
She claimed the title when 2019 champion and Czech opponent Karolina Pliskova retired midway through the final with a left thigh injury.
It's not nice to give up during a final. I feel sorry for her injury and fast recovery, because she has a Grand Slam ahead.
Pliskova said her body just couldn't go the distance.
In the end of the week, you are always tired, no matter if you go all the way or if you just lose in the final. But it's been a long week with a lot of practices, a lot of matches and hard matches. I think I played all the girls, which are just specialists for clay, so that make me just feel like a little more tired, and of course maybe not the best preparation for clay, because there was obviously not that much time for it. Then my body was maybe not ready for that many matches in a row.
But she's happy just to be playing.
This season is a little weird and strange, so I think no matter how you really do in the tournament, I think it's just great to compete and to play. So, and I made final, which was not, you know, like till last year I was not really making any quarterfinals here and semifinals, so I think it's a great still achievement. And of course, just to see some people, some spectators there was nice. So just that it's good that tennis is back.
And hoping to rebound for the French Open.
I feel like I played some good tennis here. I beat good players, and I really played the way I want to play. So I hope just to bring this to French Open.
Halep says she's ready for the French Open.
I feel good physically, and also my game is great. So nothing else. I'm not going to put pressure on myself. It's another tournament, so I expect tough battles as well, starting the first round. So I will go there and I will give my best.
The National Hockey League Stanley Cup bubble in Edmonton, Canada has been bursting with action, with the Dallas Stars and Tampa Bay Lightning tied in their best of seven championship series after two games. Dallas head coach Rick Bowness is looking for his entire team to find the net.
You rely on your top end guys to get you some offense or get you some chances, and you rely on some guys that, you know, have to step up every now and then and score some huge goal for us.
Joel Hanley stepped up for the Stars in game one to score the first goal of the series in a 4-1 win. Hanley had never scored a goal before in the NHL.
This kid's given us a lot of good quality minutes, and so I couldn't be happier for him to get a goal. But that's what you need to win in the playoffs. You can't just focus on your top end guys. You need contributions from everybody, but that's how you win in the playoffs. Contributions from guys you're not really looking at from offense, and all of a sudden they just step up and make big time plays.
Tampa Bay Lightning head coach John Cooper was not happy with the opening game and limited video analysis of the Stars.
They defend pretty well as a group. Tough. The first games are always tough. You know, video can only tell you so much until you're in the trenches, really getting to see what's going on. But we're going to have to make it a little tougher on their goalie. We're going to score.
He did get his team to pressure the Dallas net as Tampa Bay scored a 3-2 win to even the series. The National Basketball Association Conference Finals are underway in Orlando, Florida's playoff bubble, as the Miami Heat have proven the ability to overcome big deficits. In Game 1 of the Eastern Conference Finals, Miami erased a 14-point deficit in a 117-114 win over the Boston Celtics. Down by 17, Miami won again, 106-101. Miami head coach Eric Spoelstra saw little defense from his team.
Boston was really getting us on our heels in the first half, and I don't think anybody was in any kind of rhythm or disposition defensively.
But then, a few changes and a turnaround.
And then our reserves came in and really gave us a boost defensively. That just took some of the pressure off of our offense. Games are long, and you just have to figure out different ways to impact winning. And you know, the defense is really good. It's really good. They can flatten you out, and sometimes that's what is needed, you know, for some games. You just have to create something out of nothing.
Boston Celtics head coach Brad Stevens saw his team fold twice.
We pulled apart, and we didn't play well, and they did a good job. You know, we're not beating this team if we're not completely connected on both ends of the court. So got to get back to being that, which we've been at times, but right now they're a better team, and we're going to have to fight to get back into this series.
And fight Boston did to forge a 117-106 victory in Game 3 to keep the series very alive. The Western Conference Finals has the Los Angeles Lakers against the surprising Denver Nuggets. The Lakers jumped to an early 2-0 lead in their best-of-seven series for the right to play in the finals.
Stand up!
Sports fans have a lot to hear each day on VOA. Listen to the sunny side of sports for the latest from Africa, the United States, and around the world.
Friends, we can all listen to the sunny side of sports.
Great show, bro.
Find the sunny side of sports on the radio, online, and as a podcast.
This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
I get it.
Football's world governing body, FIFA, held its 70th annual Congress with President Gianni Infantino looking toward brighter days.
I'm proud, and you should be proud as well, of the new FIFA, even if the process to get there was painful, and there are still forces who want to drag us back into the darkness of the past.
The first ever virtual FIFA Congress came amid new reforms that Infantino says will address some of football's historic problem areas.
The first one is corruption. Never again corruption in football. We witnessed it, we saw it, we kicked it out, we will not let it come back.
He continued.
Match fixing is eating football in its soul. It is a crime, it is very difficult to catch match fixers because of the international environment. Well, together with the UNODC, we'll fight match fixing to make sure the matches are not decided before the beginning of the game.
And an issue impacting more than just the future of football and other sports.
The third area, dear friends, is an area that we were not really putting in the spotlight so far. And honestly, we should have. And we will now. Speaking about child abuse, I'm advocating for the creation of a new independent entity jointly organized by governments, intergovernmental organizations and sports bodies to receive and investigate abuse cases. Because we must make sure that our children, when they go to play any sport, not only football, are in a safe environment.
Infantino says the process of awarding World Cup tournaments has changed.
We've introduced transparent bidding processes. I was mentioning the Women's World Cup one. I could mention the Men's World Cup one in 2018. The first bidding process in decades, which went smoothly. This doesn't come from its own. It comes thanks to the work of all of you. So we are a credible, a trustworthy, a modern, a professional, and an accountable organization.
Despite the prospects of a lingering coronavirus problem, he's excited about the upcoming 2022 men's tournament.
I give you an advanced warning. We will see in Qatar the best ever World Cup. So get ready for that.
Olympic organizers in Tokyo are looking to 2020 U.S. Open men's tennis wheelchair singles champion Kunita Shingo for ideas on holding next year's games amid lingering coronavirus. I thought this U.S. Open tennis championships was the closest case to the Olympics and Paralympics in terms of bringing in players from all over the world. Because this tournament ended successfully without any coronavirus clusters, I felt that we are a step closer to the realization of the Olympics and Paralympics. Initially, wheelchair competition was eliminated together with other competitions from this year's scaled-down U.S. Open. But the U.S. Tennis Association changed its plans, and they included wheelchair competition after athletes complained about the original decision. Kunita Shingo overcame his concerns to travel and play. In fact, when I knew that the U.S. Open was confirmed to be held, I was scared to participate in the tournament. But as I had more meetings with the U.S. Open side, that fear slowly disappeared, and I started thinking I wanted to participate in the tournament. I thought this process would be a great tip for the Tokyo 2020 Organizing Committee. Hidemasa Nakamura is the Tokyo 2020 Games Delivery Officer. Right now, all over the world, various sporting events are taking place by overcoming the difficult challenges of fighting against coronavirus. While so many sporting events are taking place around the world, it is difficult to think that the Olympics would not be held. So I reaffirmed my determination that we need to do our utmost to rack our brains on how to get through the Tokyo Games in a safe and secure manner. Tokyo 2020 officials are to meet with the International Olympic Committee inspection team remotely to discuss various issues, including measures against COVID-19. The Game Room opens with new stories each week, or play anytime on voanews.com.